You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast, recorded live at our Manchester campus. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.
Let's give God a hand of praise. Come on, everybody. Wow, that sounds so good. Amen. Hallelujah. It's always wonderful to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I am just so grateful for the invitation. Thank you so much, Pastor Sophia, allowing me to be here, allowing me to be part of a move of the Holy Spirit. Luminous was phenomenal. Amen. Thank you so, so very much. And then we want to say welcome to everybody. Campuses, welcome. Hallelujah. I have to make mention, I mustn't forget, because when I'm here, I just think that you are my focus, but I have to remember that I'm also ministering to other campuses. Thank you so much for being a part of what we are doing right now. Thank you so much to the angel of the house, and we want to greet Pastor Glenn. Thank you so much for allowing us to be preaching by at your pulpit, and I'm telling you, I consider it such an honor and a privilege. I have such a buy-in in Audacious. Audacious is a movement. It's phenomenal. It's hard to explain unless you are here. Yeah, it's an experience that everybody needs to have at least once in their lifetime. Amen. And so we're going to say thank you so much for how you have been so obedient to the move of the Holy Spirit in your own life, and make sure that it manifests in the lives of so many people. Amen. Thank you also, Lady Sophia. You've allowed me to be part of this wonderful blessing. Amen. And we are truly honored. Thank you. Thank you to all of the leadership. Thank you for your hospitality. And you may take your seats. While you are taking your seats, turn to somebody, tell them thank you so much for being here. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. This is my second round, so bear with me. I want to teach you worship today. I chose worship today. I wanted to do spiritual warfare, but I think we'll leave spiritual warfare for Luminous. Amen. And we're going to have a wonderful time, because we're going to do some stuff, interactive stuff. I love doing that, where we get the congregation involved. And I know the women will be very cooperative. Amen. Because that's who we are. Hey, thank you. Happy Father's Day, by the way, to all the men that are here. We also celebrate Father's Day the same day. It's only Mother's Day that we have two different times, but this is something that is wonderful, that we can celebrate Father's Day. And I can wish my husband, I can wish my three sons, happy Father's Day. Amen. Thank you so much for being the fathers that you are. I have to keep the count. I have 6 grandbabies. Amen. So since we left here, 2 more were added. So we've got twins, and we have just a young one, 9 months. The other one is a year. Shiloh and JJ were added to the lot that had come. And we grandparents in our 60s, and so you can imagine we don't have as much energy as somebody who would be a grandmother at 50 and so, but we try, we do our best, amen, and I think they enjoy us. When a grandchild says they do not want to leave your house, they don't want to go home, because your house is more exciting than they are, you know you are doing a phenomenal job. So I want to give myself a pat on the back, thank you, if that's okay with everybody. Anyway, we are in spiritual warfare today. We are talking about worship, and we want to deal. I'm dealing with spiritual warfare as my initial statement, simply because I want you to understand that there is a battle going on for our worship. There's a battle going on for our worship. So spiritual warfare is not a natural battle between flesh and blood. It is not a battle for man against man. It is not a visible battle. It is an invisible struggle in the spirit world. And every person alive, whether you want to be or not, you are engaged in this battle. There is no neutral ground for you. Unbelievers are in bondage to evil. and they have become victims of the spiritual war. Believers are the ones that have found freedom through the saving blood of Jesus Christ. And we know that his resurrection gave us power to be victorious. Amen. Spiritual warfare is also on a multidimensional level. It's fought on different dimensions, and I'm going to give these to you. I know that you take notes and that this is a time of God to teach you what is necessary for you to have victory. Amen. So the first dimension is a social battle. It's between the believer and the world. And this is given to us in the scripture, John 15, 18, 24, 20 to 27. I want to give an anchor scripture of John 4, 24, about being worshipers, but worshiping in spirit and in truth. It was the anchor scripture that I had in the first service. And I'm sure when you get all of it together, you might be able to put something really wonderful for yourself. Amen. The second thing that we have is a personal battle between the flesh and the spirit. Galatians 5, 16 to 26. A personal battle between your flesh and the spirit. And then there's a supernatural battle that is going on between believers and evil spiritual powers. Ephesians 6, 10 to 27. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, etc., etc., etc. I'm sure that there has been a teaching of that in this house before. So it is a war between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And Satan is in contention for our worship. We do believe when we do teaching on angels that Satan was actually a leader of worship in the heavens. How far true that is part of the teaching that I do. You have to pick it up on your own. Worship, therefore, requires us centering our heart, our mind, our soul, our spirit on the Lord. It is something that we have to make a decision to do in order to be victorious in worship. True worshipers, therefore, have to make a choice that I will do certain things. I will praise him. I will honor him. I will glorify him. I will offer up my spirit to him, amen, so that he can do what he needs to do. So a true worshiper must remember, too, that they worship in spirit and they worship in truth. Please remember that, so that you have an understanding of what the third service is going to be all about. I'm going to do this service about worship, when to worship, where to worship, how people worship, and then God can bring a blessing into your lives. You can come forward and worship with us. Amen. Worship includes understanding spiritual warfare. It also means that you understand spiritual, spirit-led worship as well as the manifest power of God, manifest presence of God in your lives. Worship will change your heart. It will change your attitude. It will change your actions simply because you realize that the one true God is deserving and that you are just there to show him as strong as him that needs to be glorified, and it's got nothing to do with you. Amen. Only offering up thanksgiving, offering up praise is what we are called to do. Amen. Our biblical pattern of worship, therefore, is a pattern where we exalt God, where we lift him up. We edify the body of Christ, where we all become engaged in the worship. And then because we have lifted up Christ, someone in this congregation has to make a decision for Christ. So it becomes our outreach. It becomes a way of reaching somebody that has come totally for the presence of God. So we talked about the different types of worship. But I want us now to go to when to worship. I think that would be about the best thing that we can do is when to worship. When to worship. We have got to get an understanding of when to worship. The powerful thing about being in the body of Christ and having so much teaching going forth, especially when we are in church, is to know that we can worship here at any time. We can raise up our hands. We can stand as soon as I give a point or a reference where you can feel like it's attaching to your spirit. You raise up your hand. You say amen. Hallelujah. That's all part of your worship. We have identify that worship can be now. It doesn't have to wait until you get home in order for you to raise up your hands. But we also need to know that we need to offer up worship, when our prayers have been answered, when we have asked of God and He has given us an answer, that is the time when we can just worship. I remember I had been asking for a vehicle, and my mind was so old, it was really giving me a lot of trouble. And I remember saying to my husband, I said, Tudor, can you do me a favor? For my birthday, I was coming up to my 60th year. I said, can you, because I know he always buys me these awesome gifts. And sometimes, me and you, we have such a kind heart. You really buy us good gifts, but they're not necessarily the gifts that we want. So I... check them in. Okay, sorry, it's your day. Sorry, it's your day. I didn't mean to wound anybody. It's your day. But I gave him what I wanted. I told him I would be very grateful if you just gave me a Corolla, and not a creepy crawler, but a Corolla. And the next thing, he comes home, and they're all giggling and they're twittering there in the office. And they said, Mom, you wanted outside. Somebody wants to talk to you outside. So we get into the car park. Oh, wow, there's this car. I see this car that's here. I said, oh, wow, that's a great visitor. Wow, they got some money. And so I went up to the car. I didn't realize that it was for me. Now, I want to show you my reaction. And listen, I'm totally African. So I went, wow, wow, wow. And I you know, that type of excitement. And I started dancing and I started jumping and I started doing, I was so overtaken. So if you're trying to figure out why it is that I was so excited, it was the GL340 4MATIC, amen, hallelujah, Mercedes-Benz, hallelujah. So in case you were wondering why I was going crazy, it was because of that. And sometimes we need to behave like that when we have been praying for a long time for a breakthrough in some of our issues. Amen. We need to give God ridiculous praise. Something that will take you out of character. Something that will show God, I am so grateful. I don't care what anybody else thinks. You have done great things for me. Can I have an amen in the house today? Hallelujah. I didn't mind misbehaving. When I realized that vehicle was mine, hallelujah. I am a fast driver, by the way. So it was everything I needed. Hey. But that's why we worship, because God answers our prayer. We should also show worship or offer up worship when God shows us favor. When He takes you from the back of the queue and puts you into the front of the queue. When everybody else is overlooked and you are selected. Amen. When you are elevated. When you are promoted. When God shows you favor, we should worship. And it's not a tiny little, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. We must show and demonstrate that we are so grateful for His favor in our lives. We should worship when we are happy. Is anyone happy? James 5:13 asks. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Amen. There are times when you must be exuberant in your worship. We should worship when we are in crisis. David worshiped God before and after the death of his child. Amen. In Psalm 27:5, it speaks of times of trouble and sacrifices of joy. In Psalm 116:17, it says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. So there are times of crisis that you will face when you mustn't keep quiet, when you mustn't murmur or complain. Just be silent and give Him thanks. Amen. I remember one time we had got onto the M25. We were preaching in London, and I tell you what, we were racing the clock to get to our flight, and we arrived, it hadn't closed, but we were late. We were just in a huge traffic jam, and we now were stuck Our flight was closed and we weren't able, and so we didn't know what to do. And the fares they were giving for us, to us to catch the next flight were just way out there. And I said, there is no way we are going to be doing that. And I went into a corner. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I said, Father, this is your story. I said, I'm going to give you thanks because that's what the Bible tells us we must do. So that when we are in a time of hardship or we are backed up into a corner, we don't go to the first thing that we do. You know, sometimes we go to our angry place. We go to our frustrated place. There are things that you can do that are so different. And this is why worship is so important, to determine what type of an attitude that you have. The action that you take when you are in crisis determines what type of victory you are going to have. So you must watch yourself when you are in a place of backing, where you are backed up against the wall and you got nowhere to turn. And so I was in a time of praise and worship. And a lady came and tried to frustrate. I said, please, can you just wait? I have to get this out of me. Started thanking God, and I won't forget. Finally, somebody came up to me, patted me on my we've got an answer for you. And I tell you, it was such an easy one. There was a flight leaving in about an hour and a half, and what they did is they took our points, managed to sort out all kinds of things. We didn't have to pay anything to leave where we were going. We were late, we were delayed. But look what praise and worship will do when we get into a place where God is brought into a situation. God will turn everything around for you. So please remember, hallelujah, that we must offer up praise and the sacrifice of thanksgiving in every circumstance. Hallelujah. We should worship in all that we do. Everything that we do should be a form of worship. We should worship continuously. Don't give yourself a break, because sometimes we just need to worship in order to lift up our spirits, to take us to the place where God has intended us to be for that day. Now, I want to go from when to worship to where to worship, because I'm getting to how people worship, and then we can go on why we worship and have the presence of God in our worship. Amen. We can worship anywhere. Please write that down. Anywhere. Turn to your neighbor and say, anywhere means anywhere. Worship is not limited to the house of God. It's not limited to a church. It's not limited to a temple, and it's not limited to a designated place. You can be in your car. I got in, I'm going to squeal on Becky. Becky, you're going to take me home for the rest of the week, even though I'm squealing on you. Becky, when I got into the car, I thought, wow! She had the music on so loud, my eyebrows shifted a bit. I grew a beard a little, you know what I'm saying? Because Becky's music was moving. She was in a time of worship. And so you can worship anywhere. I love to do this. When I leave the house, I look for worship. Because we have drivers that do gymnastics in our nation. Hallelujah. They don't know how to keep to the rules of the road. And so in order for me to keep saved, hallelujah, I make sure I put up worship. Hallelujah. I don't lift up my hands, but I let the worship float. I do not sing anybody. So if you see me there worshiping, I am lip syncing. Amen. Hallelujah. Because I do not, but the praise is there. The depth of what I need is there. And by the time I get to where I'm going, worship has done what worship needed to do. Amen. Shifted me to another place. Worship should be offered up corporately. That's why we come together to come and worship. It must also be offered up privately. And the reason why I say privately is because if you can worship at home, it's easy for you to worship in church. You are not restricted. You can always tell when somebody hasn't been praying at home. You can always tell when somebody hasn't been worshiping at home. They feel uncomfortable. When you say it's time to pray, they don't know how. They put their hands together, close their eyes, and they go into a place of concentration. Whereas if it was something that was normal or it was a lifestyle, when you say it's time to pray, they just flow. They know how to raise their hands. They know how to say, Father God. And it's the same thing with worship. When you are worshiping at home, when you are worshiping, when it's private, when nobody is watching you, you will find it easy that when you come to the house of God, the minute they start the first tang on the guitar, the twang on the guitar, the beat on the drum. You are here in the front because you have already been doing worship and practicing worship at home. Can I have an amen, everybody? Hallelujah. We should worship before the nations, and we should worship not as entertainment, but because God, hallelujah, is in the midst of our praise. He said that when we offer up praise, He dwells in the praises of His people. Amen. So our worship must be God-centered, focused totally on God and what He is able to do. Worship should not be a distraction in the sense that we mumble or we give little thought to the passion that needs to be offered up. We must know and understand what is required of us. Worship is not a mood. You don't worship because you're feeling good. You worship regardless of how you are feeling. That is how worship is supposed to be offered up. It is not a mood. And so you need to understand that. We need to understand what different types of worship there are. And I'm sure this was taught to you because you do it so brilliantly here in Audacious. Number one, Todah, T-O-D-A-H. And I'm going to go very quickly because I want to show you how people worshiped. It means to lift or extend your hands to adore, offer up sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Amen. The next one is Yada. Is to hold out your hand, an action of worship, extended hands, a dimension of praise that overtakes you. Amen. And then halal is to praise, to boast about, to act foolishly in adoration of your God. And Shabak is to make sure that you can shout with a voice of triumph. Zama is to play a musical instrument, which we see being done here. And then Shekah is when we are flat out, laid down, prostrate before the Lord because of what He's doing and the work He's doing through us. And then, of course, the things that we love, Barak is to bow down or to kneel before our Maker. Tehillah is to sing a new song that glorifies God. The thing that we need to understand about worship is that it's got to incorporate some things. Number one, thanksgiving. Please write that down. Thanksgiving means to acknowledge and express gratitude. It means to celebrate and then to confess what the Lord has done. So we have to offer up thanksgiving. We are to exhort, we are to exalt and extol Him. Amen. Lift Him up. Thanksgiving. Regardless of where you are, what has been happening in your life, thanksgiving has got to be offered up. Number two, we have to offer up praise. Praise means that we ascribe into God what belongs to God. It means that we are commending Him, thanking Him for what He has done on behalf of us. Praise includes remembering the Psalms. We are to glorify Him. That means to bring Him admiration. Hallelujah. We are to honor Him. That means to show Him preference. And then, of course, to magnify Him, to make Him great. So what thanksgiving does for you is it focuses on what God has done. And then praise focuses on who He is. And then your worship is your act of love and adoration towards God. So I was racing through that to get to this because I've literally got a few minutes left. Is worshiping in spirit requires you to have a born-again experience. Not only a born-again experience, but the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So that the spirit that is inside of you, your spirit that is the part of you that reaches out to God, is now met by the Holy Spirit, a move of God or manifestation of God. And there is a sort of bonding or a binding in your spirit, and the two become one in the atmosphere. So that is spirit-led worship, where you know that God is moving in you and through you. Now, I want to be very plain here because that's how I know to do, okay? Sometimes when we are standing in a service and there is absolute praise and worship going around, you are in an isolated place in your mind. You have gone through so much. You're so tired. You're exhausted. You've been to church so often. You haven't had your breakthrough, and all kinds of things are happening. If you take the time to focus on your spirit instead of focusing on the outside elements and you start focusing on the inside elements, the things that are in you, and start letting your spirit cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Because in every service, the Holy Spirit is reaching out to every single one of you. God doesn't choose. He doesn't say, oh, this one is just like how we were giving accolades to certain men that have been doing such a wonderful job in this church, a wonderful work of service in this church. We give them accolades. God is not like that. He doesn't move on you because you have done well. He moves on you regardless. Amen. You are His child. You belong to Him. Amen. Hallelujah. He already knows what you have been through, what you are going through. And so what He does in a service is that He reaches out to you at the place where you feel your frustration, where you feel your loneliness, where you feel your inadequacy, where you feel you have not got your breakthrough. That is the time when God really reaches out to you. You have got to now just cooperate with what the Holy Spirit is trying to do. And when you go past yourself, can you turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to go past yourself? Turn to your neighbor. Come on, come on, come on. It's time to go past yourself. When you go past yourself and you get up regardless of what you are feeling, get up regardless of what you have been experiencing, and you give God what is due. Can I have an amen in the house today? Hallelujah. If I ask you to clap your hands to the Lord, hallelujah. Come on. Let the Holy Ghost move inside of you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe God is going to do a mighty work in this church. Hallelujah. That's when the reference comes. We go faith to faith, because what you do when you answer the touch of the Holy Spirit, when you're in a low place, hallelujah, your faith gets up. And when you raise up your hands, the raising of your hands in spite of what you are going through is the TO. It's the T-O. So your faith gets up and your hands raised is your T-O. And then you're reaching out for faith. Hallelujah. The faith of God. Because your faith is not where it's supposed to be. You're reaching out for the faith of God to take you where your faith should be. Can I have an amen in the house today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So I believe I still got a crowd that I have to reach. They are somewhere in the back there. Hallelujah. I'm getting to you. I'm coming after you. Hallelujah. You are going to dance today. You are going to jump today. You are going to express everything that you need to express before the Lord today. Hallelujah. You're going to get rid of your own self and you are going to focus on what God is able to do. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is how people came before the Lord. They came before the Lord, before His presence, with thanksgiving. Psalm 104, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Hallelujah. Psalm 95 and verse 2, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Hallelujah. They worshipped Him by bowing. Huh? There are times when you are in such depth of presence that you cannot keep your head held high and you find yourself bowing. I had an experience many years ago where Christ Himself came into a building. I will never ever forget that. And I'm going to tell you now, you can argue with me, but it was my experience. You can never ever take it away from me because it was my experience. He came, He walked down, and as He was walking down and came to stand in the front by the altar, I watched every single person that was, as He was walking past, just all of a sudden start kneeling. Nobody knew nor understood Christ was coming in. They I saw, hallelujah. Another lady saw, only three of us saw what happened. And as he walked into the place, everybody started bowing their heads. It was just the most natural, I believe, something that a spirit to spirit was able to do, amen. Just automatically bowing. And sometimes when you are in the heaviness of spirit, you find yourself bowing because you know, hallelujah, this is a holy ground. This is a holy experience. This is a holy place. And I am unworthy. Hallelujah. Can I have an amen? Everybody that knows, everybody that has had that experience, amen. Can I have a shout in the house if you know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah today. Yes. We've got to know and understand. Hallelujah. We are getting there. I have got exactly a few seconds. And then when they came into the presence of the Lord, they shouted. They shouted. They shouted. Hallelujah. Psalm 47. And can I shout to God with a voice of triumph. There are times when the devil's talking too much. When the enemy is saying too many things. When yourself talk has spoken such rubbish, such nonsense the whole week that you have to offer up a shout from your spirit to silence what the enemy has said. Can I have an amen in the house today? Hallelujah. And then the last one I'm going to give you is they made a joyful noise. Hallelujah. Psalm 95 says this year, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, because that's what we are told to do. And then they clap their hands. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout! 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 Come on, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. And then they lifted their hands. They lifted their hands. Hallelujah. Sometimes you need to clear the airwaves. Clear the airwaves. Wave your hands. Hallelujah. Wave your hands, hallelujah, and let God do what God needs to do. May the Lord bless you this morning. Let's worship. Let's give God thanks today. Let's give God praise today. Let's jump before the Lord. Let's worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.